You're listening to the New Point Community Church podcast. This message is a part of our message series, Mixtape. For more information about New Point or to get involved, visit newpoint.org/podcast.
The husband in the video, you know, he's a little bit confused. He tried to return that mixtape because really, it didn't fulfill his expectations. He got something that he didn't expect. And the clerk said something to him that was very, very important. And just in case you didn't pick up on it, let me repeat it again. The clerk said, "How well this works depends on you. How well this works depends on you." And basically what he was saying is no marriage is the same. And whatever you put into it, you're going to get out of it. And you can't just drop it in some boom box and hit play and expect for it to work the way that you want. And that everything is going to be okay. It just doesn't happen that way. We all know that. You see, when we enter into marriage, all of us have a set of desires. Would you agree with me? And if you're here today and you're single, you have a set of desires that's running through your head about what this is going to look like. And I would bet, because I know it's true about me, when I was single and I was thinking about marriage and my desires, I wasn't thinking about being the right person. Were you? I was thinking about finding somebody who would fulfill my desires. And I thought they were pretty reasonable. You know, I thought, surely, you know, there's somebody out there who would agree with my desires. And I wasn't concerned about being the right person. I was more concerned about finding the right person who could fulfill my desires. And yet what happens and what we're learning is those desires that we have can easily turn into expectations. And whenever we place expectations upon people, what happens is they feel pressure. Pressure to deliver. And when those expectations aren't met, it's lethal to our relationship with one another. And not just in marriage, but in all of life. And we usually leave. We usually exit. We usually give up. And today what I want to talk to you about is this idea of how well it works is up to you. How well it works is up to you. You know, I want to share with you what I have come to believe is the greatest single relational dynamic, and it's ultimately a game changer for every relationship that you're in, every relationship that you're in. Especially for marriage. But before I do that, I want to welcome you. We're glad that you're here. We're in a series called Mixtape, a soundtrack for a great marriage. And I want to welcome those in Worcester and Canton, Millersburg and Dover and Coshocton, and soon to be Cambridge. So we're glad that you're here. I believe this is going to be helpful for each and every one of us, whether we're single or single again, or whether we're married, it makes no difference. But here's the question that I want to kick us off with, and it's this. What is the most important thing to you? Now, I know, quote, unquote, you're in church. Don't give me the correct answer. Give me your answer. What's the most important thing to you? Is it money? Is it privacy? Is it your kids? Is it your health? Is it a hobby? Is it prestige? What is the most important thing to you. And by the way, would your spouse agree with you? Okay? Or would your kids agree with you? Or would the person that you're dating agree with you? What's the most important thing to you? Because whatever it is, that's what you're moving towards. That's front and center in my life and in your life. And I'm going to come back, and we're going to address this later. But I want you just to write it down maybe on your note-taking guide, and we can encourage you, or I encourage you to follow along with this, or you can download it on the app there, New Point app. But I want you to get in your mind, what is the most important thing to you? Because it plays a major role in all of your relationships. Because usually it's the filter that you and I filter things through. And so here's what we're learning, okay? We're learning that our desires can become expectations. And when they become expectations, they're dangerous because then we can feel entitled to them. And when we feel entitled to them, we end up losing gratitude because we're not thankful for that which we feel we deserve. And we move from feeling entitled to being demanding about it because we deserve it. We deserve it. And what happens is when we go there, we lose intimacy because you're not going to trust anybody who you feel is harsh and demanding. You will not make yourself vulnerable to them, so you'll lose out on intimacy because you'll be afraid that they will take advantage of you. And what usually happens is those desires go to expectations that can become entitlements. We become demanding, and then we're judgmental when they're not met. And what we forfeit is unconditional love. So we have these desires in us. And I shared with you last week a quote from Andy Stanley, and I want to bring it up again. And here's what he says. He says this about all of our relationships, okay? All of our relationships. We're attempting to recreate or avoid something in the past. When we attempt to create something or recreate something or avoid something in the past, it transforms desires into expectations. And all of us, what happens? We've had these desires before we got married, or you're having those desires right now. And those desires usually come from what you have experienced. Maybe from the home that you grew up in, or something that you read, or something that you've seen, or something that you've experienced. And so you're wanting to recreate it because it was such an unbelievable, wonderful experience that you saw or experienced, or you're wanting to avoid it because it was painful. It was uncomfortable. It was hard. It was difficult. And what happens is it transforms our desires into expectations. And you might say, well, what is an expectation? Let me give you the definition that we've been looking at. It's the strong belief that something will happen or be the case in the future. It's a strong belief that something will happen or will be the case in the future. Now, what happens is this. When those expectations come, and they do come, what happens is the person in your life will feel tremendous pressure. They will feel tremendous pressure. And so the question is, how do we deal with this? How do we handle it? How do you and I handle these desires that so easily turns into expectations? Well, we said this last week. We said that great marriages happen when we understand that we owe each other everything, but we are owed nothing in return. That's how we handle our desires. That's how we handle our expectations. Is that we realize that we owe each other everything, but we're owed nothing in return. And so we get our cues from Christ. If you're a Christ follower here today, if you know Jesus Christ as the forgiver of your sins and the leader of your life, what happens is we get our cues from Him because no one did relationships better than Jesus. He mastered it. And so what we begin to learn is that Christ-centered marriages aren't based on rules, R-U-L-E-S, or roles, R-O-L-E-S, okay? There's not, the Christian marriage isn't a set of rules or a code of conduct, okay? Because what happens is great relationships aren't built on exchanges of service. You know, you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. You take out the garbage and mow the lawn, I'll wash your clothes and I'll give you something to eat every once in a while. You know, great relationships aren't based on an exchange system. You do this for me, I'll do that for you. Great relationships are built on mutual submission. On mutual submission. And of where we're pulling for each other. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Because I believe that this is the most dynamic relational principle that you can exhibit in every relationship that you have, whether you're married, whether you're single, at work or at home. It's this thing called mutual submission. Now, Jesus, who is the greatest relator that's ever lived, at the end of his life, he shares something with his family, the disciples. And he basically said, this is the thing that you need to do to be great at relationships. And he gives them a command, and it had to blow them away. But he gives them a command, and here's what he says. A new command I give you, love one another. Now, that was not new for them. But what he tagged on had to blow their mind. He said this, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. That's what blew their mind. And basically he was saying, you want to have great relationships? You want to be contagious? You want to be able to make a difference? Then love other people as I have loved you. And no doubt when they heard this, their mind started to retract on how he had loved them. Because John is writing this, okay, around the Last Supper. Before Jesus is going to the cross and dying for the sins of the world, for my sins and for your sins. Because John writes at the beginning of the chapter of 13, he says, having loved his own, referring to Jesus, who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. And let me give you the picture. Jesus and the disciples were in an upper room. And the custom was that they would always have a servant there to wash their feet. They would click off their sandals, and there would be a servant there to wash their feet. And then they would sit around the table, and they would have a meal. Well, what happens is they go there, and somebody must have dropped the ball because there was no servant there. And so they walked into this room, and you can just imagine the awkwardness. We should be washing our feet. We should be clicking off our sandals. And no doubt in their mind, they were saying this. They weren't into mutual submission. They probably were saying, well, hey, you know what? I know I'm not the least of them, so I'm not doing it. I'm not as good as Jesus, but I'm better than that tax collector, Matthew, who's a liar and a thief, and Peter, who is so obnoxious that he thinks that he's the leader. And then Jesus does something incredible. You can read it, John 13. He takes the towel and the basin, and he begins to wash their feet. And the awkwardness went through the roof. Because if anybody there should not be washing somebody's feet, it should be Jesus. We should be washing his feet. And so he's showing them the extent of his love. And later would die on a cross for them. And Jesus said this. He said, I have set you an example. And there's nothing more powerful than an example. He says, I have set for you an example. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed. You will be fortunate. You will be envied. If you do them. If you do what? If you serve. If you love one another. Here's what he says. If you love one another as I have loved you. And he says, follow my example. I'm not going to ask you to do anything that I haven't done. I've set you an example. And if you do this, you will be blessed in all of your relationships. Basically, what he's talking about here is mutual submission. And you say, what is mutual submission? Here's the definition of mutual submission: leveraging all of my resources and who I am for your good. Leveraging all of my resources and who I am for your good. That's what Jesus did for the disciples. He leveraged everything he had for their good. The Apostle Paul was one who picked up on this. And Paul was one who really hated the church. He was fighting against Jesus. And then he had an encounter with this love, and it transformed him. And if you will read Paul's writings, you will find out that Paul brings it back to this one simple truth. Love one another as I have loved you. Referring to the new command that Jesus gave. And so in Ephesians, he brings it back to this thought of loving one another as Christ has loved us. And he writes this in Ephesians chapter 5. This is so, so powerful. Paul writes, watch what God does, and then you do it. It's what Jesus said. I have set for you an example. Now follow it, and if you follow it, you will be blessed. And Paul's just echoing. He's taking his cues from Jesus. He says, watch what God does, and then you do it. Like children who learn proper behavior from their parents. Let me just say this, okay? All of the men here today, your sons are picking up on how they should treat women from how you treat their mother. Y'all okay on that one? All of you women, all of your daughters are learning how to respond to a man by how you respond to their daddy. We could go home right now, right? Listen, how you learn how to relate to people is from your home. It's from your home. You're relating to people the same way that you relate to people at work. And the reason why you responded to the people at work the way that you respond to them is because that's how you responded in the house that you grew up in. And so Paul is saying here, like children who learn proper behavior from their parents, mostly what God does is love you. He loves you. Keep company with him and learn a life of love. Paul goes on to say this, observe how Christ loved us. Remember how Christ loved us. What did he do? He took the towel and the basin and he washed our feet. He became a servant. When everybody else was standing around with their arms folded, waiting for somebody else to pick up the towel and the basin. Observe what Christ did. His love, check this out, was not cautious, but extravagant. I don't know if I can love like that. I might get hurt. I'm going to be very cautious with my love, but not Jesus. He was extravagant with his love. He didn't love in order to get something from us, but to give everything of himself to us. Love like that. That's what Paul was saying. Love like that. Jesus said, a new command I give to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. How did I love you? Extravagantly, not cautiously. I didn't love you to get something from you, but I gave myself to you. And here he says, love like that. And Paul writes this in another letter of his. He gives us the description of this kind of love. He says, love never gives up. Love cares more for others than for self. Love doesn't want what it doesn't have. It doesn't force itself on others. It isn't me first. It doesn't fly off the handle. It doesn't keep score of the sins of others. It puts up with anything. It trusts God always, always looks for the best and never looks back, but keeps going to the end. Wow. That's how God loves you and me. And Jesus said, you know what I'm doing? I'm calling you to love your spouse, your husband, your wife, your mom, your dad, your son, your daughter, your friends, like that. And no doubt, you're probably thinking, how on earth am I ever going to do that? Because that's not natural. Would you agree with me? That's why Paul goes on to say this. He says, be filled with the Spirit. The Spirit of who? The Spirit of God. If you're going to be able to love like God, then you have to have God living and loving in you. And so Paul says, watch how God does it. And then follow his example. And then he follows up with these mind-blowing words. Here's what he says. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submit. What's submitting? Leveraging everything that you have and who you are for the good of others. Out of reverence, out of honoring Christ, out of in light of what Christ has done for you and for me. And so he says, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And then he says these explosive words. You ready for this? Here's what he says. Wives, submit yourself to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. Wow. Now that just ruffles a whole lot of feathers, right? But what you need to realize here is he's taking a principle that is applicable to all of us. But now he's zeroing in and he's specifically talking to women. And he says, wives, submit yourself to your own husbands as you do to the Lord. Now here's what you need to understand, okay? He starts off with the women because in those days, this wasn't shattering. Okay? Because a woman wasn't valued back then. And no doubt, you know, him just speaking to women and writing to women will let you and I know that Jesus raised their value because now they're being taught. Because before Christ, they weren't even taught. And so when he says, wives, submit to your husband, I have to. He treats me like a slave. Tell me something new. But then he adds these words here, as you do to the Lord. And here's what you need to know. He's making a principle, a general principle applicable to wives. But he's going back to this one thing. And here's what he's going back to. Submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. And so he's telling the women, you need to submit to your husband. You need to leverage everything that you have. Everything that you have and everything you are for his best interest. And then he takes it up a notch. And he talks to the men. And here's what he says. Husbands, love your wives. Say what? They're my slave. They're just here to meet my needs. They're here to do whatever I want them to do. And Jesus, or Paul was saying, husbands, love your wives. Can you imagine that? Love them? What do you mean? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not fly off the handle. Love does not demand. What are you talking about, Paul? He says, husbands, love your wives. And then he adds this. Just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Hey, wait a second here, Paul. It didn't end well for Jesus. He died on a cross. He literally gave himself up for the church. Yep, you're right. And you know what? That's how you're supposed to love your wife. So you know basically what Paul was saying? He's just saying it in different ways so that they can grasp it. Husbands, submit to your wives. Y'all okay on that one? Huh? Submit to your wife, just as Christ submitted to God the Father and gave himself up for the church. Let me tell you what I believe. I believe the greatest impact of your sons and daughters coming to know Christ is your marriage. It's your marriage. Because Paul says there's a mystery here. It's a relationship between Christ and his church. And for your kids and for my kids to believe in a God, then they need to see me love their mother as Christ loved the church. And they need to see her responding to that love. And what they really need is they need to see two people who are mutually submitting themselves to each other, leveraging everything they have and everything they are for the benefit of others. And you know what they'll say? Gotta be a God. Gotta be a God. What magnificent love. Incredible love. And so Paul goes on to say this. Each one of you, talking to the husbands, also must love his wife as he loves himself. Basically, he's saying, hey, men, I know how you love yourself. You protect yourself. You provide for yourself. You put yourself first. You make sure that your needs are taken care of before anybody else's. He says, I'm telling you that you need to love your wife like you've been loving yourself. And the wife must respect her husband. What's he saying here? He comes back to say, it's mutual submission. That you know what? Women are valued. Men are valued. You ready for this? There's not a rank and file here. Because we're called to love as God has loved us, as Christ has loved us. Now, how do we live this out? Well, Paul gives us a clue in another one of his letters in Philippians. Here's what he writes. He says, in your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. What's he saying? He's just saying this in another way. You need to love as Jesus has loved you. You need to have Jesus's mindset. And then he describes it. He says, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his advantage. Wow. He basically saying, you know what? God didn't pull the rights card. I have a right for this. I demand my rights. You have to do this. He said, Jesus, though he was God, laid aside his privileges and his rights, and he didn't take advantage of them. And so here's what I want you to get. Mutual submission is lived out in this way. You don't demand what you think you deserve. You don't demand what you think you deserve. You lay aside your rights. You lay aside your privileges. Who? For the benefit of the other person. He goes on to say this. Rather, he, talking about Jesus, made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. What did he do? He took on the very nature of a servant. What did John tell us? That he took the towel and the basin, and he took on the form of a servant, and he washed their feet, and he said, I've set for you an example. If you'll do it, you'll be blessed in all of your relationships. And Paul now is describing Jesus as one who intentionally takes on the form of a servant, because you know what? It's not naturally in you, and it's not naturally in me to be a servant. We all want to be thought of as a servant until we're treated like one. And then we're not happy. And so Paul would say this. He would say, look for ways you can serve. Mutual submission is about not demanding what you think that you deserve. Mutual submission is lived out in ways in which you can serve. So how can I serve you, Patty? How can I serve you, Caleb? How can I serve you? Is that why we get married? I mean, when you're single, okay, when you were single, did something just overcome you? And just, I just have to get married because I have this unbelievable desire to serve somebody. I don't think so. See, what happens is those desires is we're desiring somebody to serve us. And what happens is we get into that relationship and those desires become expectations. And yet Jesus said, you know what, I took on the form of a servant. He was submissive. Paul finishes up with this. He says, and being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself. We're going to look at that next week. He humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. What's the third way in which we live out mutual submission? Here it is. Do what's right, even when it's painful. It was painful. Matter of fact, Jesus said, if there's any other way possible, can this cup be passed from me? But here's what he said. Submissive. Not my will, but your will be done. You see, if we're gonna live out this incredible dynamic principle of mutual submission, then I can't demand what I think I deserve. I have to look for ways to serve before I'm even asked. And I have to be able to do the right thing even when it's painful. So let me come back to this question. What is important to you? Are you willing to put that before your spouse? If so, you'll never have a dynamic relationship. You have to come back, I have to come back, and I have to say, you know what? I'm willing to put what is important to me back. And I'm willing to put my husband, I'm willing to put my wife before what's most important to me. You see, only when you put someone else's needs above your own can you say it's true love. So how great of a lover are you? Say, I don't know. Well, let me ask you this. How often do you put someone else's needs above yours? Now, last week, I gave you some homework, and I want to wrap this up. And I ask you to name your expectations, but not to share them. Okay? And I hope you did that homework. Okay? Because here's the homework that I have for you today. And I don't want you to do it now. I don't want you to do it on the way home. But I'd like for you to take some time and sit down across from your spouse or your significant one, okay? If you're dating. And here's what I want you to ask them. What are your expectations? I need to sit down and ask Patty, so what are your expectations? Tell me your top three expectations. Now, here's what you ladies need to understand. When you ask your husband, he'll probably say, I don't know. But we get mad when you don't meet him. What's your expectation? I don't really have any. Really? doesn't always seem that way, because you can get moody. You can be Mr. Freeze. And so what happens is it's going to take courage on your part as a man to be able to man up and say, here's my three expectations. And let me tell you why you ladies need to understand why it's so hard for us men. Is because we're afraid we're going to get rejected. And maybe the same reason for you, because what happens is we say, if I really ask that dangerous question, what are your expectations, so I can be intentional in meeting those, okay? What happens is, what if they really tell me and I get taken advantage of? Then you'll never have a great marriage. And what I would say, it's worth the risk. See, what the key is that it's mutual. It's mutual. I want to leverage everything that I have and who I am to the best of Patty. And she needs to come back and say, hey, you know what, Dwight? I want to leverage everything that I have and who I am for your best. And when you do that, what happens is, you position yourself for an incredible, unbelievable relationship. And I end with this. It not only works in marriage, it works at work. When's the last time that you've gone to somebody at work and say, hey, just want you to know I want to leverage everything I have for the company, because I want the company to be the best? Or have you gone to your company and said, you know what, I got all these desires, I hope you meet them? And probably if that's the case, you're frustrated. You feel taken advantage of because there's not that mutual submission. Would you pray with me? God, we thank you today for Jesus. And we thank you that he's not called us to do something that he himself has not done. And he has shared with us that he set an example, and that if we would do it, we would be blessed. We would be envied. We would be fortunate. And I pray for myself, and I pray for each of us here today, that we would leverage this incredible principle called mutual submission. And I pray it in Jesus' name.
If you want to talk to someone about a decision you've made, or let us know how God's moving through this series, visit newpoint.org/podcast. Be sure to stay connected with us throughout the week on social media, and don't forget to download our app. Thanks for listening to today's message, and we hope you continue to realize and reach your full potential in Jesus Christ.